Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, back in the studio after 2 weeks in Oklahoma City, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, man?
How we doing? How was your trip?
Trip was amazing, guys. For those of you who don't know, my daughter is in, she rides horses. She's an equestrian, Arabian. Mm-hmm. And they had the Youth Nationals in Oklahoma City. So at the fairgrounds, the whole thing, and it was absolutely insane. There's different age groups and stuff. And so she's 12 years old. So she's in the 14 and under group. She last year, her last class, she won national champion. And then their first class, she won national champion at this one.
Hell yeah.
So we went to dinner that night. All you do is win national champions. I mean, that's all you do.
We'll just wake up and piss excellence. That's what we do.
But she ended up doing really well, ended up with 5 titles, with 3 national champions, 2 reserve national champions. And she's beaten kids that are 6 years older than her, and 18 and under, some of the classes combined and stuff. It's absolutely insane. Her coach is like, this isn't normal. This is not normal. So
I wonder why.
Well, she comes from good genes. even though I don't want to get on any horses anytime soon, I'll tell you. But we've invested. We got a couple of horses now. And yeah, it's exciting. It's just great to see all the hard work. She's up there, you know, at the barn 5 a.m. and stuff. So
discipline, anyways, consistency, coaching. Oh, look, success.
Super pumped about that. I mean, and really, to be honest with you, the reason I bring that up is that I've been able to be gone for 2 weeks, yeah. Right? I haven't had to get pulled back in. I was just, everything's just happening around me. The problems are getting handled. And it's just like, it's a pretty cool feeling. And I know a lot of gym owners would like to be in that position. And that's kind of what this podcast is exactly about, is when it's time for the gym owner to step out of the operations and the things that have to change. Right. But before we get into that, I do want to give a quick shout out to Legacy yeah. Podcasting. Guys, I'm holding a Oak and Eden in bottle finish. It's a bourbon. And it was gifted to us by the guys that do our podcast, uploads and stuff. You guys are listening to Apple Podcasts, how it gets there, the guys at Legacy Podcasting. And I was looking at this label and it says bottled for Built to Grow. And it's like really, it's like a custom bottle. So guys, that's awesome. If you're on YouTube, you can check it out. Boom, right there. Yeah. Nick can cut to it. Beep. There you go. But super pumped to try that. I haven't drank in months. Yeah. Months. I got all that bourbon behind me and I don't even touch it.
We need a reason.
Well, the Growth Summit.
That's coming up.
The Saturday after party. We've got this whole place rented out. It's going to be really exciting to do that. But let's get into the show. So here's the scoop. You know, gym owners, micro gyms, training gyms, you know, you find yourself wanting at some point to not be in the business every day, or the ability to make a choice to go on vacation or go do something else. I mean, honestly, there's a million things you can do with time, but if your time's shackled to the business and the operations, you can start to resent your business. Sure. I know there's a lot of gyms that we work with that this is the situation they're currently in, is I've got to get out of the day to day. I'm in there too much. I mean, I love my business, but I don't love it like I used to.
Sure.
Or I don't love it that much to not do anything other than that. So there's, I was having a coaching call with one of the gym owners we're working with. And, you know, I told him that the skill sets change, you know, the leadership skill needs to be brought to the top, right? In order for you to have a team that can run the play, they need to trust their leader and they have to be trained to do so. But if you're constantly going behind them and doing the work for them, it'll never happen.
Absolutely.
So a couple steps to this process. Number one is, you know, and it's hard, it's really weird to say this, but honestly, it might be the most truth, is you have to care less.
There you go.
What do I mean by that? You have to care less. Well, Tim, I'm never going to not care. Well, of course not. But you have to care less. And what I mean by that is you can't be so anal about every single detail that you won't allow anybody else to do it because you just care for it to be perfect.
Yeah.
And that's going to get in the way of you being able to let go. You just can't care as much. And it's weird to say, but when you get it, you understand, you get it. It's like, oh, see, I let the team do it. And yeah, maybe I'm not going to nitpick that exact little thing. I would have done a little different, but you got to let it go.
Well, they say that, yeah, perfection is the enemy of progress, right? And mm-hmm. in this situation, if you're the one that's cleaning up, you know, from behind the scenes or you know, backing them up and doing the work or finishing mm-hmm. it or not even letting them take the reps, that's the exact, mm-hmm. there is no progression, right? You're always putting yourself back in the seat and it's always going to come back to you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you've always, I mean, from day one when we started working together, mm-hmm. one of the things that you've always said and always kind of had a belief around is, you know, about 80% success rate, right? Like if they can do the same job about 80% as effective as you,
mm-hmm.
put them in the seat and then let's coach them up and fill the gap.
Yeah, yeah, it's true because everything can be done two different ways or 10 different ways. You've heard that saying, there's, you know, a million ways to skin the cat, right? Like mm-hmm. it's an analogy.
What
saying,
a weird analogy, but
weird. Who skins cats? I don't know. You skinning cats is, or, you know, so it's a weird way to say is like, there's a million ways to get to the end line,
yep.
you know, to the finish line. And, you know, Zach just chatting with him, you know, this morning, you know, we're dealing with a deal with semi-private pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him like, hey, did you email everybody else? You know, and he decided to go this way and I would have done it differently, but like, what difference does it make? At the end of the day, the thing's going to get fixed and the communication is going to get out. I can't care so much that I obsess over making sure that he does everything exactly how I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's not worth it.
And that's why you hire somebody and put them in the position, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the other end of the spectrum, you know, before when we sat down, you're like, oh, I didn't know any of this was going on.
I didn't.
And that's the beauty of having somebody else in the position doing mm-hmm. it also
yeah.
is, you know, like he's
taking the arrows.
Exactly. He's protected, you know, like you said, yeah, he's protecting your back and he's handling the issues mm-hmm. without having to go uphill or bring it to your attention.
Yeah.
And there's so much to be said about that, you know, like back to gym owners every single day. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Oh, I'm just putting out fires constantly. Is nobody on your team capable of handling any of the fires that, you know, started?
They are, but you don't let them.
You don't give them the authority to do so.
You don't
exactly.
Hey guys, as you know, at Built to Grow, we're all about systems and scalability. And that's why I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Semi-Private Pro. Several years ago, I was in our gym looking around and I noticed our coaches were staring at their clipboards, struggling to stay one step ahead of the clients. And I thought, gosh, there has to be a better way. So I tasked Zach, our fitness director, and I said, dude, we got to find a software that would enhance our clients' training experience and increase our coaches' levels of engagement. See, we're all about client experience here. After countless demos, we realized there was literally nothing designed for our training model. So we set out on a mission and I said, look, we got to create an app that is designed specifically for semi-private training. And I can tell you guys this firsthand, this is taking our training to new heights and I'm confident it can do the same thing for you. See, with Semi-Private Pro, you can streamline your training system, enhance client engagement, and scale like never before without spending hours on programming. To learn more about how you can get started with Semi-Private Pro, head on over to special link here, semiprivatepro.com/BTG. That's Built to Grow. So just head on over real quick to semiprivatepro.com/BTG to check out a demo for yourself.
So here's the real deal. Like let's just take three things that need to happen. Number one, somebody's got to train clients. Number two, somebody's got to make sales. And say, number three, somebody's got to program.
Sure.
And just those are three things that have to get done. Here's the reality. A person's got to do one of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either you or them. And so when we say give them the authority, we really coach gym owners to coach their employees up.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? So like if the director or the owner is in charge of sales, but the director or the owner isn't there, this is a perfect example. There's a coaching team, there's a director, and then there's an owner. There's three levels.
Mm-hmm.
If the director's in charge of sales, and the director's out of that seat for vacation, sick, whatever, and there's a sales appointment, we like to coach the coaches up to take that sales responsibility versus the owner down. So that's exactly how it's set up here. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming back in on a Saturday morning to do sales consultations because we coach our coaches, our team, to be able to handle that in the absence of our fitness director. And that's probably a big aha for a lot of folks. It's like, oh crap, coach is out. I got to come in and train sessions. Well, cross train your team to be able to backfill people.
I was just going to say, when was the last time you had to pull a session?
Never. I mean, we're talking the old location.
Yeah. Prior to 15?
2015 was the last. Yeah. So that's when we moved over here, and probably 3 years before that.
Yeah. Think about that, guys. I mean, and the reason I'm saying that is because Tim is, you know, he owns a gym. He's in the same seat you are. This system is what's allowed him to not have to go back into operation because we've built it with intention. This is how we handle this problem mm-hmm. when those problems come up. So that Tim's not, I mean, there was a reason I wanted to say that. It's been years.
12 years.
12 years since Tim's had to coach a session in his gym. I don't know a single gym owner that I've, in any of our ecosystem that's in that same position that can say that probably.
Probably not. I mean, there's two reasons for that. One is what we're talking about today. The other reason is maybe they enjoy going in and do that.
But choice.
Choice is the caveat, right? Having that choice to be able to, hey, yeah, I feel like, you know, let me go knock out this big group workout tonight. It's Thanksgiving. I want to run it. You know, cool.
Remind gym owners all the time, like you have the option of walking in your gym and shaking hands and kissing babies and like going above and beyond. Jump in with a coach and just.
I was just doing that. I was just out. We were getting, we used the restroom, walking back. There's training going on. And I walked out there. I go, one of our longtime clients, Ping. I go, Ping, so I'm so glad you got a chance to see me today. She's laughing. Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. Yeah. Joking around. And she's like, you look like Jesus. I go, El Savior with a big beard. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
But that's a choice, right? That's not a requirement. And that's the biggest thing that we're trying to really, I mean, that's like the overarching takeaway here too, is when you build the systems into the business and you build a structure that has a plan for backfill and coverage and things like that, you're not in a position to have to walk back in your gym and fulfill those roles and responsibilities. And that's huge. I mean, that allows you as a business owner to keep your attention and your time on the areas that are going to impact your life and, you know, the business as a whole.
Absolutely.
As opposed to doing something that, you know, we're paying somebody, no offense, there's nothing wrong with it, but like those three levels, that's the lowest on the totem pole. Let's, you know what I mean? The coaching seat. So let's make sure that you as the pinnacle of the business mm-hmm. isn't forced to be doing, you know, the lowest tasks within the business. I mean, and it comes everything. It could be Jan-San, right? It could be cleaning up after things. It could be wiping down the bathrooms, all of those types of things. Somebody should have overlapping coverage on those responsibilities, and it shouldn't be you, the owner.
With a small team, there's gonna be some cross, and you know, honestly, every coach should be able to, like, in a small team, you should be able to have the newest coach be able to take a sale, the veteran coach or anybody in between be able to do programming or answer the phone or whatever in a small team.
Sure.
But as you grow and there's levels and the org chart starts to, you know, spread out left and right and go vertically, and all of a sudden now you got layers. I think the biggest keystone, you know what a keystone is? It's in an arch, and it's that one block at the top.
Yeah, it solidifies the.
Yeah, you pull that out, the whole thing falls, right? The keystone to the freedom of a gym owner, I believe, is the fitness director.
Oh yeah,
that's the key to freedom, and the reason is that person is doing your job. Mm-hmm. That's it. The person that you hire as a director or GM or whatever you want to call it, we call it fitness director. They handle everything the owner would handle without them, right? I mean, honestly, if we go and everybody's like, well, where nobody can find a unicorn like Zach, like nobody where I can't, I don't have anybody on my team. Zach was not this way when we hired him. He was a coach.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hire him as a director. He had no business management skill set until we brought him up,
mm-hmm.
gave an opportunity. I gave him the training. I held his hand. He learned from me. We're constantly in communication, and he's developed into what he is today. He was a coach, guys, and he wasn't even the top lead coach.
Yep.
When he got that job, when we lost our fitness director, Brent, before we gave the job to Zach wasn't the head guy.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Mike.
Mike, yeah.
And I gave them both an equal opportunity, and they approached it completely differently. And I chose Zach over Mike. No offense, Mike's a great dude, but like I saw more potential in Zach. And honestly, you guys have people on your team right now that fit the criteria of what Zach had at the time. Yep. So it's not really an excuse. Like everybody's like, yeah, to find a guy to come in with the skill set he has now off the street, impossible.
Sure.
Yeah, he doesn't, unless Zach moved to Montana, because probably will one day, and there's a gym that hires him. Like, that's not going to happen.
That's what I was going to say. It's probably coming from another location or something like that, and difficult to find, find it, and then also find somebody who's looking for, you know, another opportunity. So
you've got to bring them up from within. Developing. And so that's the key. Is the keystone to freedom is having a director, but having somebody on your team is going to be that person. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to bring somebody from the outside to do the sales, to lead the team, especially when that team's been there for years, and then you bring somebody over the top of them.
It
can be done, and in fact, it does happen all the time, and then what happens is turnover, and then you got to replace, and then by the time the next batch of coaches are in, this person's already in that role.
You want to give a real-life example of that? Because, I mean, that kind of goes back to the conversation you were having with the coaching client. And
sure, you know, yeah.
Like specifics of how to kind of find that person on your team, maybe.
Well, one of the big roles of the director is sales and programming and all the things. I mean, we've solved the solution. Like, guys, if you need a programming solution, semi-private pro, it's done. Like, just go look at that, and you'll realize it's built for exactly what you need it for. So I also really believe the gym should own the programming, not a specific coach. Anyway, top down.
Big time.
Yeah, that's our belief. It's a delivery system. It's your product, all the things. But sales is a acquired skill. I mean, it's a unique skill, especially doesn't align with a lot of trainer brains because of the...
If I could, I'd do it for free mentality.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the mindset of a coach on another episode, but like it's not a very common trait that you could be a great coach and also a great salesperson.
Sure.
It's just like they're two opposite ends of the spectrum. One's sell, money driven. Over here, it's altruistic, helping. It's like they're opposite.
And we see that in a DISC assessment.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that in personality types. I mean, you'll have evidence to that.
And so one of our coaching clients, probably listening, he's out of the country, awesome guy. I had a great call with him. And, you know, he's like, hey, three of my guys just really aren't a good fit for sales. One is shy, one talks too much, one's too green or whatever. There was reasons.
Sure.
I don't remember 100%. And if he's sold on the fact that it's going to be impossible to have any of these people sell, which isn't that far-fetched.
Sure.
Because, again, like we said, they're two ends of the spectrum. The fact that Zach has sales acumen is unicorn status, but again, he didn't start that way. Mm-hmm. So you also, it's trainable.
Yeah.
So, and I think a DISC assessment would be a great thing to do with these three particular coaches, but like, here's the deal. I said, listen, you know, in order for you to be able to hire somebody over the top, he was worried about the culture. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. Have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Tell him the truth. Hey guys, I need to get somebody in for sales. Which one of you three or all three of you have interest in doing sales? And he said to me that most likely none of them would. And then he's off the hook. Great. None of you guys are up for it. I've got to bring somebody in to do this job.
There you go.
And the funny thing is, and I was laughing about it, it's like, well, it's the truth. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening. So I think being transparent, and this is where the leadership comes in, right? Like he has to go to the team and like, here's where we need to be. I'm doing all the sales and programming. I can't do it anymore. I need to step up a level. Which one of you three has interest? None of you three. Okay, well, listen, I got to bring somebody in. And then it's okay because they turn down the opportunity.
There you go.
And let's just say one of them wants to, or two, all three of them. Then it's training them up and finding out, you know, that they really aren't that good. And then you let them down that way. Hey, listen, just you've got a 20% close rate. Like we got to be at 80.
Yeah.
You know, here you go. So that's what I would recommend. Right. If you're an owner, you're doing everything and you're listening to this podcast, nodding your head. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's, you got to get the leadership skill set, get that fitness director in there or bring people in for particular skill sets that your team doesn't have or coach up.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's it.
And it might be something like you mentioned leadership. You know, that might be a skill set that's a little bit foreign to you as a business owner, right? You might only have a couple of people working for you. You might have never been in a position where you've had to step out and be able to teach somebody mm-hmm. the skill sets that you know. That's where systems come into play. That's where, you know, creating, if you're the guy that shows up and you do things a specific way, but you don't have it documented, you don't have a process for it. Zach and I did a podcast that just came out that was on, you know, how to, like what you should and shouldn't be telling your team and things like that. And part of that is like, you know, you have to develop, but in order to allow the backfill and the team to move up, you have to have a system in place for them to follow. It can't be you being the business, right? And this goes across every corner of the business. Everything that you have your hands on, document it, create a system around it. And the reason the systems exist is so that somebody else, let's say, God forbid, something happened to you as the guy who does all those responsibilities. Do you want your business to close in a month because you don't have somebody that can sell? You don't have somebody that can write programming? Like, they're silly reasons. So, I mean, not to paint a bigger, dire picture around it, but there are reasons why systems are in place. Successful businesses use systems. We talked about the McDonald's method and why they sell more hamburgers than anybody else. It's not because of their quality. Mm-hmm. It's not because nobody can do it as good as Ray Kroc originally. No, he created the system that allowed almost anybody to be in that seat, follow the system, get a similar result at the end.
Yeah, robots.
No. And yeah, exactly, right? But that's what we want for our fitness businesses. Your business should run like a Starbucks. It should run like a McDonald's when it comes to the systems in place, right? And if you can put that on paper, you develop your process around it. And it's something that we coach, a legitimate system. Here's the first step. Here's the second step. We went through that in the podcast too. When you have that system in place, that's the majority. Like, their 20% close rate should be 50, 60, even if they are horrible at the kind of like the personality or the position themselves. They follow the system, they're going to get somewhat a similar result.
Right.
And you have to have that system. Right now, most gym owners are that system. You know, we've done our SOP in a day workshop where we help you guys create SOPs for the business. We'll make sure that's in the show notes. It's things like that that allow you to actually have that freedom to step away from the business. Put somebody else in, follow this system, you're going to get a similar level of success.
Yeah. Period.
Hey, successful gym owners, is your gym on solid ground pulling in at least $30,000 per month? But you're wondering, what's next? Well, we've got the answer for you. It's the Iron Circle. The Iron Circle is an exclusive growth community tailored specifically to gym owners just like you, those striving for the next level of success. We're all about real-world knowledge and strategies to boost your business to new heights. To find out more, visit our website at ironcircle.net. It's the Iron Circle, because you're not just running a gym, you are building a legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
Right, you can't wing it. The opposite of system is winging it. And so, as you hear that word system all the time, systems, yeah. But honestly, you have a system, probably you're doing right now, it's just not documented. And that's the key to the whole passing down the knowledge, is documentation. Quick story, my dad, over the years ago, got hired for some job, and it was like the guy ahead of him trained the guy below him. And it's like this original SOP gets the game of telephone.
Yeah.
So like this person's doing that job, and then they teach the person behind them or replacing them that job, and downhill versus having we created a whole training portal for employees because it was the guy that they were replaced that was teaching them, and they do things a little different. And so like, if you want to keep quality across all departments, you have to have a consistent training experience and processes that everybody follows the same exact way.
Yeah. I think you and I did a podcast, and you were talking about the roast beef, right? Why they cut the ends off the roast beef, right? Perfect example. It's because over the years, like, that was lost in translation. Like, the reason that was because of the size of the oven back then, right? But it had nothing to do with the quality of the roast.
It's a great analogy.
It's story, perfect for this, you know, this situation. You know, when you don't have a system to follow, if you didn't have a recipe written down and it was just word of mouth generation over generation, things are going to change. Things are going to not be carried across. The lack of understanding of why we cut the ends off the roast to put it in there wasn't there. So
I mean, a great example of this is I was in Oklahoma at the Youth Nationals, and I couldn't understand why they did a thing a certain way. And what it was the color of the trophy. This was what I couldn't understand. And I brought it back to, this is the way it's always been done, and nobody's questioned it. I go, that's why you need fresh eyes. The youth trophies for national champion are this pewter silver color. And then the second place, which is reserve, is like a coppery bronze color. Okay. Not gold and silver, the opposite almost.
Yeah.
Like the second place almost looks like it's gold.
Yeah.
The adults, who they had an adult national champion there at the time, the adults, it was gold for the national champion, silver for the second, very in line standard, with the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I asked Julie, who's our, the barn, I'm like, why is the adult gold and the national champion adult gold and the national champion for youth a pewter silver color, but yet the second place looks more like gold? Well, it's just the way it's been. And I go, that's my point.
Yep.
There is no reasoning behind it. I bet you there was something happened where the trophies couldn't get made one year.
There you go. Yep.
And then they just kept it that way. Because if you looked at the trophies, you think the second place is first, just by the color of goldish color. You know what I mean?
What we're accustomed to, sure.
And I was like, you know, this was probably the first year that I've all seen all the trophies in front of me. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And so I was questioning it, and there was no answer. And it was because the oven was too small, 1958, you know, or 52, when that chuck roast was getting, you know, the ends were getting cut off. It's the same reason about the trophies. And so one thing that you can do with your team is, especially the newest people coming in, we have this written in our handbook, your voice will be heard. You it's your responsibility to question everything.
There you go.
And we welcome the question, because how are you gonna get better? If there's a thing that we're doing that's stupid and we don't realize it, and they come in as a fresh set of eyes and like, man, we just keep doing this thing, but like, I think we could do it this way better. That's your obligation to bring it to Zach, and we talk about in the team meetings. We do that with our programming, everything. Everybody has a voice, and I think that's a big part of the culture within the team here, is that, you know, like, even the first day on the job, guy gets to question stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that you're going to get better as a gym, guys, is letting people analyze. It's not, you know, it's not, we do it this way because we've always done it that way. There has to be a reason.
Perfect. And that was going to the neck, or like what I kind of heard from that, is the intentionality behind the systems and the intentionality behind why you do things a certain way. When you're challenged, like even outside of the gym, just normal life, right? Like if you have a belief around something, you better damn well have some conviction, right? You should have some reasons why you feel that way, why you do things a certain way. And if you don't, there's a good chance there could be a better way to do it.
Yeah.
And having fresh eyes come in and I don't want to say challenge, but like, ask the questions that come across like a challenge, right? It gives you, or it gives Zach or whomever that they're asking the question, to consider, okay, why do we do this way? And if it's not intentional, chances are that's great feedback, and maybe there is a better way to do it.
There's a better way, or there doesn't need to be done at all, or whatever. So,
but again, it brings back like the intentionality factor, right? Why are we doing this? If we have a reason and we're confident that this is the best way that we can do it, perfect. Now it's probably the right way.
Yes. Why we're doing it this way. Oh, that makes sense.
But,
right?
But constantly, why do we do things?
Why is this national championship trophy silver in the adult skull? It doesn't make sense.
And
right.
They, and they don't have, when there's a not a legit,
it's just the way it's always been.
It's
right?
The way it's been.
And I go, exactly. That's my point. I knew there was a reason that there
or
was
lack of, there was or no lack reason. Of reason, which is a reason.
So guys, leadership, coaching up, you know, Keystone, director, all the things we talked about. You probably want to listen to this episode a couple times, guys. This is the linchpin, the thing that gym owners really, really want out of their businesses, to not be in the business. You hear the analogies, don't work in your business, work. It's stupid to say that. But you're get in the shower at 4 a.m. thinking about having to go into work and put fires out. Well, you're the person I'm talking to.
Yeah.
You're like dreading it, and you're staying in that shower an extra 5 minutes just letting that water run over your head because you really don't want to go in. You're the person I'm talking about. I love this business. I love this gym. I don't, you know, it's a blessing at this point. It feeds me. It doesn't take from me. It doesn't drain me. It's pretty awesome to walk in. Even if I haven't been in here for a couple of weeks, I just walk in, I'm like, yeah, just nod your head and just like, hey, you built this thing, right? It's pretty cool. So I want you to have the same feeling, guys. I'd love to see you in Chicago. Tickets are still on sale. We're coming to the end here. I'd love to see you there. Tickets, show notes, all the things. We got SOP in a workshop, SOPinaday.com. Is that it for that?
Yeah.
SOP. Yeah. We'll make sure all that's in the show notes, guys. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. See you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.